philosophies in my experience and my experiment. Okay, time for another weekly update. So this has been a bit of a few and fark week, really. That's how I explained it to a friend of mine who's also going through some major health stuff. It's like you feel like you take, I don't know whether it's one step forward, two steps back, or two steps forward, one step back, but it feels like there's this constant dance between fucking hell, are you serious? And then phew, it's all good, you know, or it will be. Yeah, it's just this, it's a dance. So I'll tell you what happened, but first I've got to pick up a dog shit. So give me a sec to get a poo bag out. This is real life, isn't it? Not at all edited. Where is the shit? Hello. Hanging in the water. Beautiful. So I think last time I updated, I had said that Nico had, that I had managed to get an appointment with the surgeon at the hospital. And it was a telehealth call, and we didn't really know what it would bring, but, you know, it just felt like some kind of movement because he was supposed to meet with them on the 6th, but it had been postponed due to the lockdown that was happening in Queensland, and it had been moved to mid-September. It just felt like a really long time to wait after being given, like, after having had the cardiologist really stress how serious and urgent this was. And so it just felt like there was this disconnect between what the cardiologist was telling us and how slowly the public health system was moving. And like, I get it's public health and we have a world-class system, but it can be really slow and not greatly communicated, particularly for people who have never been in the system, right? Like I had Mabel in a public hospital. That's the only time I've been in a hospital since I was 18 months old. I've never had surgery. I've never had anything. So, you know, someone who's never been in the system, it's very difficult to know what a process is or even know what wording means. You know, it's like they speak a different language. And when you're not used to it, it's really confusing and overwhelming. So anyway, we had this booked in session with the surgeon, and first of all we spoke to one surgeon who said that basically, you know, asked us all the pre-op kind of questions, like, do you smoke, how much do you drink, are you on any medication, have you got any other health issues, you know, what else, like, are you allergic to any medications, etc., etc., etc. And then he told us that, you know, because of the border with Queensland, you know, it's causing a bit of havoc at the hospital, and so we're probably realistically looking at 2 months, which was a bit of a blow, but okay, you know, what else can we do? And then he said, but that's from when you get dental clearance. And we were like, dental clearance? It's like, oh, well, you've got to go to the dentist. You've got to tell them that you're having heart surgery and they'll know what to do. But basically, they need to make sure that your teeth are all good in order for you to be scheduled for this heart surgery. So that 2 month time frame is from when you get the clearance. And we were like, that was the fuck, right? Because Miko has had a cracked tooth for a really long time. It hasn't really been causing him any problems, so he hadn't bothered doing anything about it. And you know, and we knew that a root canal was going to cost about $3,000, which, you know, we haven't been able to really prioritize that money for a tooth that hasn't been causing him any problem. And we had, like, 18 months ago, Mikko had lost his job. So we had had a little bit of money there that we were saving to do some renovations on our house, like fix the roofing, leaking roof and shit like that. But when he lost his job, we ate through that and we've just started to build it up again. And now, you know, yeah, it's just, it just has felt really hard. And so prioritizing $3,000 for a crown for like a root canal was just like not a priority. So anyway, as luck would have it, we have two of our friends are amazing local dentists. And so I messaged my friend and said, hey, you know, Mikko's waiting on heart surgery and we didn't realize, but he has to have a dental check. And at the moment, because of the lockdown, most dentists are closed except for emergencies, because for a lot of reasons, but they're not allowed to use aerosols. So a lot of the work that a dentist does is with a, you know, spray, and they can't do that. So they're closed. Anyway, when I texted, or we rang and left a message and then texted my friend, she was like, oh my God, you've just caught me at the right time. Like, I've just finished an emergency. You know, I'm in the surgery for the first time really since we've been locked down, and so come in right now. So we're in a panic, like, let's go do this, let's go get this dentist check. And then my phone rings and it's no ID, and now I answer all no ID calls because it's always, or sometimes mostly it's not important, but it's often the hospital. So I answer the phone and it's the surgeon who's going to be doing Michael's actual heart surgery, and he says, can we jump back on the telehealth call? I just want to go over a few more things. So I text my dentist friend and I'm like, we're just talking to the surgeon, you know, the second we finish here we'll be on our way. And she's like, that's fine, do what you got to do. So we had this telecall with the surgeon who's actually doing his surgery. And he was like, okay, so I just want to go and clarify a couple of things about medication and blah, 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 blah. He said, right, so you do have to get the dental checked. He said, but I'm not going to wait. He said, I've looked at your, you know, he went through all the bits and pieces of Mikko's chart and over all the stuff that we know about his faulty valve and root and how it's going to be replaced and what the recovery time is. And he says, look, this is really serious. Your cardiologist is right. Like, this is not something that can wait, because yeah, it's in the severe there's three ways we characterize, or three ways we categorize heart conditions, and your husband is severe in all three. He has stenosis, he has regurgitation, and he has pretty major dilation. And at the moment, the rest of his heart is overcompensating for this valve, which is why he's not having any symptoms, which is very strange. But, you know, it's probably because it's in such good nick, and because you're so fit and healthy, it's really been working overtime to compensate for this faulty valve. But the problem is, we don't want any more deterioration, because that will lead to other complications. And we want to get this done as soon as we can, so that it's just the valve and root replacement, and you don't have to have a pacemaker and all, you know, or a bypass or any of that shit. We just want to get it done as soon as possible before you have a heart attack. You know, because it can, with where you're at, it could deteriorate really quickly. So we're going to categorize you as category one, which means you will have surgery in the next 4 to 6 weeks. They'll give you a week's notice, and we won't wait for the dentist check. We know that you will get this sorted in time, and we'll just book it in from now. So you haven't got a specific date, but just know that it'll come very soon. So, you know, we're like, phew, okay, phew, hello. So what was the other thing I was going to say that he said? He said, it's going to be, sorry, I've got this dog crawling on me. It's going to be 4 to 6 weeks, the dental check, and there was something else. Can't remember. So anyway, we were quite relieved. Once we get this dental stuff done. So went to the dentist, and he does have to have either an extraction or a root canal, and we're just going to do an extraction, because, you know, Mikko's going to be out of work for 3 months, And we don't have any income insurance because I've spoken about this before, but basically changed super companies the week that he found out about this. And so it's counted as a pre-existing condition, which means they wouldn't give him income insurance. So we're, you know, we can't really afford to put $3,000 into a tooth when, you know, he's going to be out of work for 3 months with, like, I think he's got 2.5 weeks of leave. So it's stressful, I won't lie, but like, it pales in comparison to his life, right? Like, we'll make it through. It might be tight, but we'll make it through and he will be alive. We can always make more money. We can't get his life back. So the priority is his life. Oh, and that brings me to the other thing he said. He had said to us, and don't worry about the border restrictions, we will make sure that you are looked after, which was just such a fucking relief. Because yeah, you know, you can imagine, like, living just south of a border that you cross pretty much every week and then being locked outside of it and not given medical treatment, you know, it is really severely impacting a lot of people. And I'm just really grateful that, you know, for Mikko, it is a matter of life and death. And so they have said that there will be that, you know, don't worry about the border. So, you know, so I wanted to say just a couple of things. One is, you know, I am very much on a yo-yo at the moment, and it does make little things kind of fade away a bit. As of Wednesday, last week, so a week from when you're listening to this, I had my second Pfizer shot. So I am fully vaccinated now. I was feeling quite feverish and stuff on the Thursday for a few hours, but it was nothing major, you know. And now I'm good, and I'm feeling good that I'm fully vaxxed. And I just wanted to say, because I've had a few people, you know, on the fence around me, like not booking yet and not sure if they're going to get it. And I just wanted to say this, right? Like, it's your body and ultimately your decision and your choice. What I do want to say is that when Mikko goes to have surgery, it's very, very, very likely he will be on his own. I may be able to drop him off, but I will have to kiss him at the door and walk away. And that is really difficult. You can imagine. Like, that could be the last time I kiss my husband goodbye. Like, that is scary. It's really scary. But I'm not angry about that. I don't feel powerless about that. That is what is required. It's what's required to keep him safe. It's what's required to keep the hospital safe. And it's required, you know, to keep anyone who's in a similar position to Mikko safe. That is what it is. I have accepted that. The way that we can move forward from here and ensure that people like me don't have to kiss their husbands goodbye at a hospital door is by having this fucking vaccine. You know, Mikko is an otherwise fit and healthy person. And that is what's kept him alive this long. He would have died 10 years ago. You know, his uncles and his grandfather had all had their first major heart episode by the time they were 40, and some of them had died by then. His grandfather was 39, I think, and one of his uncles was barely 40. And his dad, I think, had his first heart surgery at 39. Mikko's like outlasted 10 years due to the fact that he's been very fit and healthy and active. And that's what's kept him going so long. And before we knew about this, he was just like any other person. right? Like, he would not have been affected by COVID. He would have been, but we wouldn't have known because we didn't know about this heart condition, right? So he would have died from COVID, and it would have been the biggest shock in the world because we didn't know he had an underlying congenital heart defect, right? And that could have been anyone. It can be anyone because, what is it, 1.3% of the population have this faulty valve. It could be any of us walking around with a faulty valve that could put us at serious risk of dying from COVID, even though we're completely symptom-free and moving through life, being a parent, being a brother, being a sister, being a mother, being an auntie, being an uncle, being a father, being an important member of our community. And then all of a sudden, you're dead because you didn't even know you had an underlying condition. You know, I think the misunderstanding here is that, and yes, for the most part, the people who are dying from the pandemic are people who are in their 80s and 90s and probably also have underlying health conditions. But it's also people like you and me and Miko. We just don't know. We don't know. So I just want to encourage you to really, when you're making your choice, just consider me and my family and our position at the moment. You know, we are just normal people in your community. We're just like you, except that, and we could just be like you and you don't know it, right? Like, I think it's very easy to say, it's really only affecting the elderly, so why should we all lock up? Well, it's not. You know, my husband is a father of a 7-year-old. He's an active member of our community. He works in disability support. He would give the skin off his back to someone that he cares about. And he is at very real risk of dying should he catch COVID, even fully vaccinated, which he is. And he had no side effects, so there's that, right? Two, if a man with a faulty valve that's on its last legs can have two shots and come out of it with no symptoms, with no side effects, then, like, you know, I mean, really, we know that you jump in your car every day and you're more at risk of dying than you are from having this shot or even having a serious, injury. So, yeah, I just really wanted to update you as to where things are at. Things are moving. That feels really good. But it's also, we're still on tenterhooks because we're just waiting for word. He will have a tooth extracted and some minor dentist work, but there is an issue with one of his wisdom teeth which may need to be dealt with, but we're really just crossing our fingers that can wait until, you know, a year or two. And if that's the case, then we're full steam ahead and hopefully in surgery within the next 6 weeks. So, you know, he said, I just want to be carving the ham at Christmas. You know, I don't want to be waiting anymore. And I don't either. So I just want it to be done. And if it means that he has to do it alone, that's the lot. That's the lot. But yeah, if we want to make this different for other people in the future, go and get vaccinated. Okay, that is it from me with my update for the week. Until next week, peace out. Carlos Ortiz, I'm Carly Limbo.